trying to shatter that glass ceiling.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Business in America is growing, but attitudes don't seem to be changing. If you looked at Fortune 500 companies, you wouldn't find very many women at the top. Last year, women held only 16% of corporate officer positions. Hillary Wakay has more on a new study out today.
The nonprofit research firm Catalyst has been studying this issue for 10 years, and 2005 was the lowest yearly gain for women corporate officers. Catalyst President Eileen Lang says lack of role models, lack of access to informal networks, and good old-fashioned gender stereotyping are to blame. She says women are seen as people that take care, not take charge, and she says that also hurts men.
It is suggesting that men don't have family obligations. It's quite unfair because we know that men and women both want to have a better balance of work and life.
Catalyst studies show equal numbers of men and women aspire to top jobs, whether or not they have kids at home. In Washington, I'm Hillary Wakay for Marketplace.
We told you this week that the Doha round of international free trade talks collapsed. The U.S. and many other countries have pointed fingers at each other for bickering that led to a breakdown instead of a breakthrough. Well, now China is urging everyone to resume the talks. They say the failure is a setback for all sides. One of the goals was to improve the economies of the world's poorest countries. These talks began back in 2001. They were suspended on Monday after major trading partners failed to bridge wide differences over agricultural issues. On Capitol Hill today, lawmakers are looking at new immigration laws, how they affect American workers. Meanwhile, in Britain, businesses upset about a new plan to fight illegal immigration. Pressure to reform the country's chaotic immigration service has led the government to create a pretty radical plan. From London, Stephen Beard has details.
Under the plan, companies will be put in the firing line. If they employ illegal immigrants, the bosses will be heavily fined. Some of their assets could be seized and they could be disqualified from serving on a board of directors. Business leaders have denounced the measure. They claim the government has lost control of Britain's borders, allowing an estimated 1 million illegal immigrants to settle here. John Cridland of the Confederation of British Industry says business shouldn't carry the can.
There are so many forged documents around that lots of employers can find themselves accidentally caught up in this without ever intending to be. Let's ask government to sort out their own problems before they pass the responsibility on to business.
He points out that the very government department responsible for enforcing immigration rules was itself found to be employing illegal immigrants as cleaners. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
If you've been worried about bird flu, this might give you some comfort. British drug maker Glaxo thinks it's found a vaccine for humans. The company says a vaccine is effective in very small doses. That's important when you consider the prospect of mass producing the stuff. Glaxo says governments could order it for delivery and stockpiling early next year. However, it's unclear how many doses can be manufactured quickly. It's also uncertain how effective the drug would be if that virus begins to mutate. Quarterly earnings and lower oil prices helped the Dow to rise yesterday. It was up 52 points at 11,103. The Nasdaq climbed 123 points to 2073. This is Marketplace. The uninsured living in San Francisco just got a big shot in the arm. The city's Board of Supervisors have agreed to let them buy into the public health system. Rachel Dornhelm explains how it'll work.
The program would cost about $200 million a year if every uninsured person in San Francisco enrolls. The city already pays half that, caring for the uninsured. The rest would come from sliding scale premiums and businesses. Those companies that don't offer approved levels of health care would pay into a pot. Jim Lazarus with the San Francisco Chamber of Commerce says that's not fair.
It's not related to the income of the business and the business's ability to pay. It's assuming that all businesses have enough money unspent to cover the mandate.
Mid-sized companies, for example, would be required to set aside about $1 an hour per worker. Lazarus says he expects a court challenge to this fee before the plan takes effect next July. I'm Rachel Dornhelm for Marketplace.
You're listening to American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Medtronic Foundation, supporting Teach for America's core of recent college grads, working to ensure students get access to educational opportunities at teachforamerica.org. And by LendingTree.com, where you can choose from up to four customized loan offers, 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. LendingTree.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Mark Austin Thomas. When is the last time you voted? Well, in Africa this weekend, the Democratic Republic of Congo is holding its first election in 40 years. This is a major event for a nation where a civil war destroyed any semblance of security. So the UN is pitching in. In fact, it's lending more support to Congo's election than any other election in history. Suzanne Marmion says that support is both on the ground and in the air.
At the regional headquarters for the UN peacekeepers here, cargo planes and helicopters take off at all hours. The UN's helicopters and planes constitute the largest air fleet in Africa. Air travel is essential here. Not a single road or rail link crosses the length of Congo and its jungles. Making it that much harder to get around are thousands of rebels left over from years of war. They're still hiding out here in the east. Nevertheless, UN election officials working with blue-helmeted peacekeepers have successfully distributed nearly 2,000 tons of ballot materials. Their combined effort cost more than $1.5 billion. Jeffrey Fisher is a consultant for the United Nations who just wrote a new study. It shows that the big price tag on elections such as Congo's may be worth it.
What we have found in the study is that when the investment is made early, costs can be reduced over time.
Fisher says that, for instance, you might need to start out with a metal ballot box with locks and special seals for a troubled emerging democracy. But once the population grows reassured and has faith in the process, a cardboard box will do. Fisher says it's all about spending the money to do it right the first time.
Cambodia is the most striking example of all. For the 1993 elections, the average cost was almost $46 per voter.
That was the investment for a stable election just after Cambodia's genocide under the Khmer Rouge. Nowadays, Cambodia spends just $2 per voter. On the streets of Goma, the siren call of just one of the thousands of candidates campaigning in Congo. Some of these candidates have been doing a little investing of their own in these elections. Pastor Wembo G. German says they've been offering his parishioners bribes.
They give some small things, beer, T-shirts, in terms of money, $5, $10, and this is the way they are buying now, people.
G. German has been telling his congregation to do the right thing.
If the Lord put a candidate in your heart, then you vote for him.
As well as the bribery, there's another troubling trend. In recent weeks, some election rallies here have turned violent. UN peacekeepers are trying to keep things under control before the crucial vote. Lieutenant Colonel Harinda Jaggi is with the Indian contingent serving here.
It's a big job, but at least the people will be able to decide their own destiny.
After years of uncertainty, maybe this time, with the help of 17,000 international peacekeepers, that hope can be made real. In Goma, Congo, I'm Suzanne Marmion for Marketplace.
We're podcasting. Check out our website at marketplace.org. And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The Cubs, the Red Sox, and the Yankees.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.